ESPN 107.3 presents the Mid-Mo Smoke Show with expert advice from the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner of the Ring of Fire Barbecue in Sullivan on ESPN 107.3.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I am your host, Lyle Quast, and you are on ESPN 107.3 in beautiful Rolla, Missouri. I'm your host, the pitmaster, and operator of Ring of Fire Barbecue Food Truck and Catering in Sullivan. As usual, in our studio is our sound man, Colin Fisher. And you can join me every Saturday at 9 a.m. right here on Midmo's ESPN 107.3. Or you can go online at ESPN1073.com to listen to any of our previous shows. And during the show, if you got something you want to add, got a comment or whatever, give us a call at 573-364-1045. Or text us at 573-BBQ-BBQ-9. And this segment of the Mid-Mo Smoke Show is brought to you by Peterson Oil and Asphalt, family-owned and filling propane tanks in Sullivan and surrounding areas since 1934. Working with Peterson Oil is a blast. And we have taken a different route today on our topic.
I had to sort of improvise here early this morning.
Yes, one of our guests could not show up, so Colin, on his quick thinking, thought that we would go with a different way. And for all you carnivores out there, just bear with us, because this may be something you might kind of find interesting. We are going to talk about veganism and barbecue. And it is definitely what you would call a different.
Certainly. So obviously, when most people think veganism and barbecue, you can't really find things more just polar opposite of
exactly.
One another. So one of the things is veganism, and I assume it's sort of a growing demographic. It's a bit of a trend that's gaining popularity. And for someone like you that's starting a restaurant, that is maybe not around Missouri, but some places, that'll be a decent segment of the market.
Well, you know, truthfully, when you brought that up and you showed me some pictures, I'm looking at that and thinking, that's not veganism. There's meat on that plate.
Right. It's one of the, like,
And
innovations with food. It's just really interesting to see what they can do, and I wonder how it tastes. But, you know, things like, I assume it's mostly like tofu and soy and that kind of stuff. And who knows if it actually works. We were talking a little about, you know, how meat absorbs smoke differently and absorbs
right.
different flavors. And naturally, with something that's plant-based, there's going to be a whole different composition to that tissue
absolutely
handle that smoke and that cooking differently. So it's probably a bit of a different technique, but I wonder how close the outcomes can be to one another as they converge towards the same
well point. And you got to stop and think, you know, the texture is going to be a whole 100% different. I don't think anybody's ever thought about injecting a piece of tofu to make it taste better, so you're going to have all outside flavoring, no inside. I don't know which way we're going to go with, you know, down the road, but thinking about a restaurant, maybe that's something down I'm going to have to maybe consider.
Yeah, I don't imagine it being a market pressure just yet.
No.
But I think it could give you some kind of advantage if you can cater to all sorts of dietary lifestyles,
yes.
I'll put it that way.
Well, and you brought up something that when we were talking just before the show, how they are growing actual meat in test tubes, I say.
More or less, it's called in vitro, which means in glass. So, yeah, it's called cultured meat. It's sort of a side branch of tissue engineering, which is a little bit of what I study at S&T. And it's really interesting. So Mark Post is a professor at Maastricht University. I believe he's Dutch. He's a pharmacologist. And he was the first to showcase a proof of concept for in vitro lab grown meat by creating the first lab grown burger patty.
And you know, you showed us a picture, and I didn't see anything different
right.
about it.
The only thing that was different is it was in a petri dish.
Right.
And struck, like, tissue wise, down to the cellular level, and, you know, molecularly, it is the same meat. And so for anyone who's not familiar with sort of tissue engineering, tissue obviously makes up all of your organs and things like that, and it makes up meat.
Right.
And you talk about the tissue of different cuts of meat and things like that. Well, the place we normally get meat is the animal, because that, so far, is our best way of growing meat. And so this, and we can use this most of the applications are being developed towards medicine for humans, because the idea is if you can grow skin or tissue or something like that, you can give it to a person who's lost it, those sorts of things. But there is a bit of a side to this. Every time some new technology or innovation comes out, some unexpected use comes out of it, and here's just another example. So the idea is that you can essentially just take these cells, which will naturally divide and multiply, give them a little bit of a structure with a cell matrix and a cellular scaffolding, and you can essentially just get meat to grow itself in the right conditions. Now, I'm sure there are going to be purists that will say that, no, you know, being fed and raised and those sorts of things are going to affect the flavor and that sort of stuff. And at least right now, this is probably really expensive. Like a cultured steak
would be in
the hundreds or thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So it's not a viable alternative yet. But once that becomes competitive, I found a I found a research article. It's Attitudes to In Vitro Meat, a Survey of Potential Consumers in the United States by Wilkes, Maddie Phillips, and Clive J.C. And so the idea is that while we're advancing with the creation of cultured meat, we don't really know how the market's going to respond, how people will perceive it.
Right.
And so this was more or less just a survey with a bunch of statistics and things like that. And what they found were a number of factors were pretty predictive of how this would be perceived. But there were an appreciable number of vegans and vegetarians who said that they would be willing to try in vitro meat because of the sort of ethical concerns. Because a lot of vegans, they don't, they're not opposed to eating meat itself. They're opposed to the process of how the meat is processed and
right.
obtained. So if you can obtain it in a cruelty-free way that doesn't have the environmental impacts, then for a lot of people, that removes the barrier and serve them a burger.
Well, yeah, and like you said, you know, that's one thing I was going to do is say go back and talk about what actually is veganism, because up until this morning, I had a whole misconception. I thought it was strictly a vegetarian and stuff. I didn't realize it was how the meat was harvested,
right?
Opposed to just eating it.
So a little bit of backstory, and my sister might get mad at me for telling this on air, but my sister became vegetarian like a year and a half ago, and it's because she had a nightmare one night where it was kind of, you know, people were in slaughterhouses and plant and these processing plants, and it was being run by like pigs and cows, kind of animal farmish.
Oh man!
And that was, you know, traumatizing to her. Because once you kind of put it on the other foot, and a lot of people, and I've taken an ethics class and you talk about these things, a lot of people consider non-human animals as having certain rights that they feel are being abused and those sorts of things. And there are the people to the absolute extreme that call
right.
it genocide and rape and those sorts of things. I don't tend to agree with that kind of stuff, but I do see how some people, you know, I eat meat, but I certainly wouldn't want to slaughter the cow. That's not something, like, we did an episode about curing ham.
Right.
And, you know, going from slaughtering the hog to all that kind of stuff. And for me, it just was kind of unappetizing, not really appealing. To others, obviously there are people who can do it, and we need those people because someone has to.
Well, see, I've been on the aspect from where you start growing them, and you know, and that's where a few people got, or they protested and stuff on farms, because, you know, the whole time you're growing it, you're caring for it, you want it to have the best and everything.
Right.
Then all of a sudden you ship it off and it's supposedly, quote, destroyed.
Right.
Well, actually, you know, that's how that meat in the cellophane wrapper in the store
mm-hmm.
comes to be.
Right. Have you heard of Temple Grandin?
No.
She's there was a movie made about her, and she got her master's in something akin to animal husbandry.
Right.
And that was just something that always fascinated her. And she had a love for animals. But her idea was, well, they need to be slaughtered. We raise them for food. Otherwise, they're just big dopey animals. But they deserve to be treated respectfully and ethically
right.
while they're alive. No undue suffering, those sorts of things. And so veganism is, so a lot of vegetarians, they won't eat for those reasons, or it's a health concern or something like that, because there are a number of studies about, you know, our intestines and our teeth, but we won't get into that.
Right.
And so veganism takes it a whole nother level. Like, they won't touch fish or eggs or dairy, anything that quote unquote is a byproduct of animal suffering. So theoretically milking a cow is stealing the milk from the baby cow, and there's oversimplifying at its finest. But
yeah,
and they won't do leather or fur or any of those sorts of things. So the type of people, PETA's chock full of them.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I hope they don't take offense to this, but the joke with PETA, it's people eating tasty animals.
Yep.
And, you know, that's how it's been for tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah.
But, okay, and now I guess we'll get back on this.
Why don't we take a break real quick? We can come back to this after the
commercials. Yeah, that's what I was saying. But no sense starting something too. We're going to need to take a quick commercial break. Coming up in section two, we are going to talk about how we're going to go ahead with this veganism barbecue. So make sure you stay tuned here to ESPN 107.3. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show, and I am Lyle Quast. We'll be right back.
This is the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
Wait. I worry what you just heard was give me a lot of bacon and eggs. What I said was give me all the bacon and eggs you have.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show here on ESPN 107.3. This segment is brought to you by the Huddle House in Cuba, home of the Huddle Up Rewards Program. Huddle up and hurry into your Cuba Huddle House today, any meal, any time. And we are back on our topic, and I know that teaser that was come up, it says, give me all the bacon you want.
Yeah, and the song was somewhat ironic as well.
And the way to look at it is say, hey, that was vegan bacon. That was grown in a test tube, so we're doing okay.
Would you like to sample our vegan bacon? 100% meatless.
And, you know, we've had our introduction of what this is all about. I know there's people going, why are you talking about this?
Yeah, I got to thinking about it. I didn't really consider that a lot of people might not be necessarily that familiar with it. So this is the definition of veganism as according to vegansociety.com. Veganism is a way of living which seeks to exclude as far as possible and practicable all forms of exploitation of and cruelty to animals for food, clothing, or any other purposes. So things obviously like meat, leather, fur, and pharmaceuticals, testing on animals, those sorts of things. But I like the way that they phrase it here, and a lot of what people hear are the real obnoxious vegans that just throw red paint on people, the absolute wingnuts. But here they say as far as possible and practicable, meaning they acknowledge that, you know, for the sake of pharmaceuticals, some testing on animals needs to happen.
Yep.
But they just want to make it as ethical as possible. Ethically speaking, just no undue cruelty, and it has to, the ends must justify the means. You don't just, throw rats into a blender to see what happens if there's not going to be any scientific benefit to it.
I believe, too, that animals should not be treated bad.
Sure.
You know, I do not want to see, like, you see on these shows where stuff happens to them and stuff. I mean, I'm not going to get into it, but, I eat meat. I'm a carnivore. I'm a hunter. And stuff like that. I still don't want to see anything suffer.
Sure.
So, and to eat, like I said, that's what great thing about this world. Each person has their own point of view, and that's what makes the world go round.
Sure.
Otherwise, we'd be robots instead of people.
Right. And on that note, with the different people, different viewpoints and things like that, I think anyone who is passionate about barbecue, as you and Matt Glenn are, and certainly competition barbecue, you want to include as many people as possible.
Right.
And you don't necessarily need to convert someone into your way of life and, you got to eat meat to enjoy barbecue. So the idea is if we can come up with some alternatives to be more inclusive, why not?
Sure.
So I've got some, vegan recipes here that we might get into later in the fourth segment. But the first, the article that I found that sort of inspired this topic was Barbecue Revolution's Slow-Smoked Vegan Barbecue, the best damn meat-free barbecue you've ever had. One Austin man stands tall in the fight for animals, environment, and vegans' rights to partake in Texas's favorite meal. Blake Newman is hell-bent on providing the local meat-free community with the best damn barbecue they've ever had, but this wasn't his original game plan. So, from what I can tell, I haven't actually gotten a chance to read through this article, and I don't really want to just read it out on air. If you do want to read this, you can check it out at theaustinchronicle.com. But essentially, it looks like he's opened up a Texas barbecue-style vegan restaurant. And the other thing that I didn't really think of, but I'm looking at the picture now, so obviously there's what looks like bacon and some maybe sausage or something like that, but and then there's mac and cheese. And I didn't even think about the cheese.
Yeah, cheese comes from milk.
Right.
Unless it's that soy cheese or something stuff, like that. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, you looked at that picture from that article.
Yeah.
And if somebody would have made me put my hand on a Bible, I'd have said, that is meat in there.
Yeah, I'd have had no idea.
No. And so, you know, I'm one of them. I'll try anything once, twice if sure. I like it. I've never had tofu.
Right. I think the true, you know, we'll probably see this eventually is, you know, you get like Mo Case on down at a table and you have them do a blind taste test. And
right.
Then one of those where it's like, oh, there's hidden cameras and that was tofu or soy or whatever.
Well, I think that's, and you know what, when we're talking about this veganism, I think that's got a lot to do with, too, where these products are called natural or
organic.
And I think that's why it's getting back to that.
Right.
Because there's no antibodies or antibiotics on that and stuff. So
yeah, there are certainly some health concerns with eating meat, you know, all the temperature regulations and whatnot and things like that. And I imagine, from the standpoint of inventory, I've got to assume tofu is easier to store than, say, beef.
Well, yeah, as long as you got a refrigerator, you could probably store it.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've never eaten it. I've seen it. It reminds me kind of when you take contact cement and let it dry,
how
rubbery and bouncy.
Almost looks to me like an eraser.
Yeah, there you go. That's a perfect, foam rubber eraser.
Right.
And, but like I said, I've never eaten it. But once we get done with this, I've got a hunch it's going to pique my curiosity enough that I'm going to probably look up some tofu barbecue recipes.
Well, here's one. This number three is barbecue tofu. So I'm going to tease that a little bit. Maybe we'll actually look into that in the fourth segment.
That's a good idea. But, and like I said, I like to know what our listeners, because I know this is throwing them for a loop listening to this today.
Yeah, if anybody's got something they'd like to say, you can call us in at 573-364-1045, or you can text us at 573-BBQ-BBQ-9, see what you've got. And I know this is a long shot, but if you've got pictures of some vegan barbecue that you've made, go ahead and send them in.
Well, and if you got a friend that's a vegan, call him up and tell him to listen to us, because here's the perfect way that he can expand his dietary. Well,
tell them to call us. They're the expert here.
Exactly.
And
you know, and we're not by no means making fun or taking this lightly, because this is actually starting to get to be a serious program.
Well, and even if it's not so much of an ethical concern, I think that's where a lot of people, that's their chief sort of stance. But there is a significant environmental impact of large-scale farming and meat processing.
Yes.
You know, the amount of land and feed that it takes for, you know, the thousands, millions of head of cattle that are being raised and grown, it's appreciable.
Exactly.
And so, you know, Ron White says, you know, he's got a vegan friend that says, you know, the amount of forest being cleared for the pastures and the methane being released by the cows, and what are you doing to help the environment? I'm eating the cows.
That's right, getting rid of the evidence.
Yeah.
And you know, and that's another thing. We're kind of getting a little bit off the topic here, but as far as the vegan, I don't, like I said, take it lightly. And I think I'm really happy that they are for the treatment of the animals. But if you go to talk to any one farmer, there ain't a one of them that wants to see his animals suffer where he can't make a profit.
Certainly.
And so, you know, maybe the two sides could maybe come together in the middle and we can actually make it a better quality
food. Sure. I think that's the thing, is you don't have to be on one side or the other. You know, most people, most of the, you know, I'll say, the sort of neutral vegans, they're not necessarily opposed to you eating meat. They just would like to for you to consider some of their points of view and things like that. And it's the sort of thing that it doesn't have to be an argument. It can be a constructive debate.
Exactly. And you know, maybe, I don't know about you, Colin, but I've actually tried some of this organic meat.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't have the flavor. And as far as I'm concerned, some of the fats, not just like it should be.
Sure.
But overall, the red meat part of it, It's not bad. I think it's a little overpriced, but when you stop and figure everything that they got to do.
Right.
I'd like to get a hold of an organic brisket and see how it, you know, cooks up.
Well, maybe that's an experiment for the smoke show.
Absolutely. And if anybody out there knows where you can get one, let me know, because I may try it, and then we can post pictures on it or as I go through the cooking process, and maybe bring some individuals in here, independents that don't even know what's going on, and see if they can tell the difference. So if we got any volunteers that may want to do that, you can get a hold of us here at the show, and maybe we'll set something up, and we can maybe change some lifestyles. And well, not lifestyles, but opinions.
Sure. So let's see. We've got Rocky Mountain Custom Cuts, and you can go to Rocky Mountain Cuts, and that's mountainmtn.com, and they've got an organic grass-fed beef brisket roast for $29.50.
Can't be a very big one.
2 to 2.5 pounds.
Yeah.
So
see, for that price, I get the regular beef.
Sure.
I'm getting a 10-pounder.
Yeah. So it's worth. It's up to everyone to decide what their premium, where it lies, and things like that. But you talk about the whole antibiotic-free movement, and there was a commercial running for a little while, and it was basically these chicken farmers, and I guess they had seen a bit of a dip in sales, profit, whatever you want to say, because there were so they weren't branding their product as antibiotic free, because by law all the meat has to be free of antibiotics by the time it goes out. So
right.
The difference was no antibiotics ever, which to me, I was always like, what is appealing about the increased risk of bacterial infection in your food?
Well, yeah, and you know, I understand that to a point, but when you go to the vegan too, sometimes, and I'm not saying everybody, so don't get me wrong, I don't want a bunch of letters where people are going to put crosshairs on me, but there are some out there that overdo it.
Certainly.
And then that will get into our system, which in turn, our system gets used to it, so when we do need the antibiotics, it doesn't work.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's the thing is, that's why the law says they have to be free of antibiotics, but
right.
Saying that they never had antibiotics, I don't really care that much. That all that to me means, oh, that chicken, you know, had strep at some point.
Yeah.
Something like that. But there was a commercial running, and it was just these farmers like, hey, this is a fad. It's a hype word. It has no impact on the quality of the food. Stop running us out of business just because of marketing.
Right. And marketing can be your best or worst enemy.
Oh, certainly. Just the way that you frame something.
Yes.
You know, like they're... All the time, there are people that get a bunch of people to sign a petition to ban the dangerous chemical dihydrogen monoxide, otherwise known as water. Well, because if you frame something kind of scary enough, I saw a video where a guy went around and got a ton of signatures at a women's college to end women's suffrage. Which,
Lord.
For those not familiar, is the right to vote.
Yeah.
Which is, and admittedly, that one's kind of a weird word, but it just... If you frame something, and they do this all the time, people don't want to look like they don't understand immediately or something like that, so they'll go along with whatever you say as long as you're confident enough about it. So when you present something with the big green letters, organic, antibiotic-free, and those sorts of things, that immediately, to me, says, okay, well, they want to put that on the box, so obviously that, to them, suggests that this is of some sort of higher premium.
Right.
So.
But, like I said, this is going to turn out to be kind of interesting for me because I've never done this or talked about this before. So we're going to take another quick break. And the next section, we are going to be coming back with a little more on this vegan barbecue and maybe get into a little more depth some of the recipes. But I'm not really sure what happened. And we're going to talk about what's going on in the barbecue society. So make sure you keep your dial right here on ESPN 107.3. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I am Lyle Quast, and we will be right back.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. It's the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
For weeks afterwards, there are flecks of meat in my mustache, and I refuse to clean it because every now and then, a piece of meat will fall into my mouth.
Welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show here on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN107.3.com. I am your host, Lyle Quast. And this segment is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Property. It's not just land, it's a lifestyle. See available property at landleader.com. So this section we're going to talk about upcoming events that are going on with the KCBS. And it is also brought to you by Cowtown USA in Cuba, Missouri. Your next UTV or ATV is only one click away at CowtownUSAInc.com. Okay, we're going to start off. There's something going on today at the third annual Pig and Swig at the ballpark in St. Louis, Missouri. That's the St. Louis Barbecue Society. I only can guess that that's got to be a lot of barbecue and beer.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing.
Plenty of beer if you've been down to the ballpark.
Yeah. And that's the only thing that I got going on this weekend. But next weekend, we got the Freedom Fest Barbecue Cook-Off in Willard, Missouri. That's a KCBS-sanctioned event. Then we got Portageville Community Day Championship Cook-Off at Portageville, Missouri. And that's a St. Louis barbecue event. And that's next weekend, too. Then I guess we take off for the 4th of July in that area. And there comes up with the Johnson County Barbecue Challenge in Warrensburg, Missouri. KCBS event there. That's the 7th and 6th and 7th of July. And then July 13th to 14th, the first annual Cameron Elks Barbecue Cook-Off in Cameron, Missouri, KCBS. And same weekend, the 13th and 14th of July, it's the second annual Festus Woo in the Park in Festus, Missouri. That's St. Louis Barbecue. And then the last thing I've got for this month so far is Racing for the Barbecue in Lee's Summit, Missouri. It's July 27th and 28th, KCBS. So maybe check them out. Maybe something you want to go try cooking in. Okay, and now we are continuing with this vegan barbecue today.
Yeah.
And during the break, Colin came up with a very good point that neither one of us had thought about.
Yeah, so when I was considering the cultured meat, you know, you see this picture, and it does look more or less just like ground beef. I'm looking at it here, and it's just the tissue. And naturally, we know that the different cuts of meat and, you know, how good they are and whatnot has to do with where they come from on the animal, which obviously is going to have to do with its anatomy and physiology and how the muscles work and how it kind of conditions that tissue.
Right.
Because tissue specialization is what gives us those different sorts of meat. And I wonder, is there a way that you can kind of cater this cultured meat to that specific cut, or is this just going to come out as more or less just ground beef? Is it just going to be basically cow tissue?
Right.
And I imagine right now there's no way to do something like that. It would require a bit too much, you know, specialization, because how are you going to condition those muscles and that kind of stuff? But if you could figure out how to do that, you'd probably be a very wealthy man.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I guess the way to look at that is, you know how these people age meat and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
That might have a little bit to do with it. I'm not real sure, but you're right. Different lengths of muscles, different texture of muscle. It's going to be hard to regenerate that.
Yeah,
so.
And I think the purists, like I said, are going to – that's where they're going to kind of stick with meat, and they're going to go, no, it's just better off the cow. And I imagine, you know, maybe my grandkids or whatever, you know, if – this becomes really popular, I'll talk about, like, oh no, I remember when you get a hamburger and it was only from a cow.
Right.
You know, we never, you know, just grew the hamburger in the foodalizer.
Well, hey, look at the way Star Trek does stuff.
Yeah.
So anything is possible, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, the one thing I like about this little conversation we're having, sadly enough, there are some young people out there do not realize that the meat they buy in the store actually comes from an animal.
I would hope that cognitive dissonance isn't so profound, but
I've actually seen it. That, and sadly enough, I have a niece that would eat meat until she found out it came from a cow, because she always seen it bought in the store under, you know, wrapped up. That she didn't know it came from a cow. Well, she's not going to eat any more
cows.
Where'd
she think that grew?
Well, I mean, you know, that's society. We're changing in a way that it's more commercial than it is knowledgeable.
Yeah,
you know,
reminds me. John Panette. He's a stand-up comedian. He tells a story. He's like, I have a friend, he owns a farm, and he let me hold a baby lamb, and it fell asleep in my arms. He said, you know, oh, it fell asleep. It trusts you. Well, it has very poor judgment. But, so I'm holding this lamb knowing I'm never going to eat lamb again. And then he says, would you like to see the cows? No.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll see him at McDonald's.
You know, and I, like I said, I'm not putting a damper on anybody that eats meat. I'm not putting a damper on a vegan, not even a vegetarian, because, you know, there's some barbecue that vegetarians can eat, too. It's going to be all vegetables, unfortunately.
Sure. Well, I mean, you can do a lot with a potato, as we've seen.
We found that out. Yeah. Yeah, and but bad part is, you know, with that potato we had, it actually had meat in it.
Oh, it had quite a bit of meat in it.
But, like I said, this is, to me, is actually really getting intriguing and interesting to see what I can do.
Right. So,
what is my capability?
You know, I've seen the picture online several times. It's like, oh, a group message was created for this weekend's barbecue group. And he texts like, oh, is anybody vegetarian or vegan? Sarah says, oh, I'm so glad you asked. Yes, I am. Sarah's been removed from the group.
Yeah, there you go. But, yeah, you know, that... There's so many cute little sayings out there that, you know, I'm not going to get into a lot of them because I can't say them really, but they're still cute.
Sure.
And it's different organizations picking on people that actually do eat meat and all this and that. And basically, I think it boils down to just a whole lot of propaganda. That's how wars were won, and I guess that's how they figure they can win this one. But I'm more for everybody getting together and working together and come to a common ground.
Right, yeah, let's find some sort of compromise here so that everybody can do what they want to do. I'd like to see it go neutral so that no one has to sacrifice what they want or believe.
Right. But like I said, in the next section, I'm going to issue a little challenge to some of our listeners and see if they're willing to try it out with me, and we'll go from there. And we'll do that after we do our recipe of the day, of the week. But this one here, there's got to be...
Let me read you off. We'll get into some of the more specifics, but I'll read you off a few little preview of some of these these recipes that I'm finding. So the number one is vegan barbecue ribs, and they don't really... They're very flat. They obviously don't have bones.
So, right.
I don't know what, like, would you put a carrot in there to try to mock a bone or something?
Well, you could, or you could just do, like... A certain fast food restaurant does when they have their rib sandwich.
Yeah, and so it says it's apparently made from something called, I think, well, it appears to be pronounced Satan. It's S-E-I-T-A-N.
Satan.
Okay, there we go. But it's a meat substitute made from gluten.
Gluten, that's...
That's the stuff everyone doesn't like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the stuff you get from wheat, and I just find it funny. It's like, yes, I'm vegan, I'm organic, and I'm 100% gluten.
Can't say gluten-free anymore?
No, not even. Like, whoever can make gluten-free seitan, they'll be, you know, the genius of the generation. But, and then, you know, barbecue tofu, and it honestly looks like chunks of bologna, which... When Frank first came on back in, I'd say, March of last year, he came on to this sports show with Justin, and he brought in some food for us to sample. And one of them was just maybe one-inch cubes of bologna wrapped in bacon and, you know, seasoned up a little bit and smoked.
Right.
And, oh, it was so great because it was just one big savory bite. And it's just pure meat. You're not chewing around a bone. There's nothing else to it. It's just meat.
That's like a lot of people don't realize it. Down south, they do it a lot. But they take whole tubes of bologna, don't slice it, nothing, and they smoke it. They peel plastic and smoke it. My goodness, that is flat delicious. You put a little bit of spicy mustard on there or barbecue sauce.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, because before then, all the bologna that I had had was with mayonnaise on a sandwich, and it came in that little, you know, shrink wrap, and I was just sitting there like, really, bologna? And then he, you know, gave me some. I was like, all right.
Well, you know, they cook so much of it down in Tennessee, they actually call it the Tennessee round steak. And, I mean, when they give you a sandwich with smoked bologna, it's 3/4 inch thick piece of bologna on a hamburger bun,
oh, yeah,
coleslaw on top, and barbecue sauce.
Certainly.
And that's some awesome eating.
Yeah, and that was also the time, so those poppers that Matt had
right
last week, those are I don't know if they're exactly the same, but eerily similar to Atomic Buffalo Turds, ABTs. And we've got that recipe on ESPN1073.com/MidMoSmokeShow. You can go there and find all our past episodes, the podcast, and you can also see all our previous blog posts, which will include the recipe, or you can download the recipe as a Word document, print that off, and I would assume take it to your kitchen.
Well, yeah.
And then, so ABTs is on there, and it's basically just cored out bacon wrapped jalapenos filled with kind of a cheese sauce. Frank used goat cheese because his wife's got a dairy thing, but had those and thought they were fantastic. And then I think Matt kind of outdid him because he used some like strawberry habanero jelly and stuff like that.
He got real fancy on it.
He got real Food Network with it.
Matt's getting to be some culinary skill there,
well,
I'm telling
you. And
ya.
The scientific method that he puts into it, he's got, you know, a spreadsheet of the different rubs and this kind of stuff. I'm putting this on the smoker and that kind of stuff. He's, you know, quite the little scientist.
Well, okay, here's the deal. We have got the next section. You got to stay tuned. We got the recipe. We'll have to take another break anyhow. So we're going to go ahead and take our break. Don't go anywhere because the next one is we'll have our recipe of the week. You're listening to The Smoke Show on ESPN1073.com or online at ESPN1073.com. I'm Lyle Quast, and we will be right back.
The Mid-Mo Smoke Show. Expert advice on becoming the best barbecue cook or fabricator you know on ESPN 107.3.
The whole point of this country is if you want to eat garbage, balloon up to 600 pounds, and die of a heart attack at 43, you can. You are free to do so. To me, that's beautiful.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I am your host, Lyle Quast, and this segment of our show is brought to you by Wind Supply in Rolla, offering the best prices and selection on Traeger pellet cookers and Milwaukee tools. That's Wind Supply of Rolla, located on Twitty Drive in Rolla. And now it's time for our recipe of the week, and it's brought to you by Timber Charcoal, making outstanding hardwood lump charcoal for over 40 years and available at Cox Brothers in St. James. And this recipe this week is it's my barbecue glaze, and this is compliments of Myron Mixon from Jack's Old South Barbecue down in Georgia. I watch his shows a lot, and I got this, tried it, and really liked it. So we're going to start. Get your blender out, folks. In your blender, you put 1 cup barbecue sauce, and it's best if you use hickory-flavored barbecue sauce because it adds that little smoky aspect to it. And then you take 3 tablespoons of honey, 3 tablespoons of maple syrup, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of pepper, 1/4 teaspoon garlic powder, 3 tablespoons peach or apricot preserves. And I'm saying this one because I use this for pork and chicken. And here's a good one for you. 2 ounces of tequila, 1/2 teaspoon of cayenne pepper, and put that all in your blender and mix it up till it's a really smooth, liquidy state. And then transfer it from your blender into a saucepan and warm it up real good. And while you're doing that, the alcohol is going to burn off, so you won't have to worry about that. With the tequila, you just got the flavor. And when it's done, put it on your fresh pork or chicken just coming off the smoker, and it is a really good taste on there. It matches up really good. You can get this recipe or any of the other recipes we have of the week. Go to our website at ESPN1073.com and download them to your computer. So this is a section where I'm going to kind of issue a challenge to some of our listeners. The first 3 listeners that text us and say they want to be part of this, I'm going to do up some organic meat, and I'm going to do up your basic meat out of the store. I want to bring them in and see if they can do a blind taste test and tell me the difference.
And see, I'll be interested to see, just based on their guess, because I wonder if they'll, you know, taste one and they prefer one, and then they're like, oh, that's probably the organic one, because usually you hear people say, oh, the organic tastes so much better. Or are they going to taste one, go, that tastes better, that must be the regular meat.
Right.
So,
well, and that's just it. We're not even going to let them discuss the taste of it.
Nope.
I'm going to have a blind ballot. They're going to check the one they want, A or B. And I may have two different types of meat. I may have a chicken. Mm-hmm. I may have a pork or a beef. And so the first three that text us saying they want to be part of it, they're in. We'll set up a date and we'll do this.
Yep.
And I'm hoping to be surprised with the results. And you might find out there's a lot of other listeners that are going to be surprised.
Yeah, see. And I assume for the sake of, you know, a fair test, we'll cook them the exact same way.
Yes.
And obviously it's not exactly economical, but I'd be interested to see if someone who can afford to buy just a ton of organic meat and just experiment away with it, if there is some weird trick to cooking it, like just you add something here or there to just kind of put back that flavor that all the, you know, steroids and preservatives do.
Well, see, what I'm going to do is I got a big enough smoker
mm-hmm.
that I can put both of them on at the same time.
Yep.
They'll be cooked under the same temperatures, done with the same rub, same injection, and same smoke. So that way,
yep.
there's not one that can be set off from the other.
Yeah.
And then I got to remember which one's which.
Yeah. It's like having twins.
There you go. And so, like I said, if we can get that, we'll go ahead and get it set up. First, I got to know if we get anybody that's actually wanting to do that. And if you do, remember, text us at 573-BBQ-BBQ-9. And we'll get that set up and see how long it takes to get the first three. So now we're going to go back onto this vegan barbecue. And Colin, being this is a recipe section, I think you said you had some recipes that
there's some interesting recipes here. And a few of them, it kind of looks like, all right, this could be, you know, really interesting. And a few of them, it seems just like vegetarian delusion. Which, you know, there's one that's cauliflower steak. And, you know, I've seen cauliflower rice and mashed potatoes made from cauliflower, and I'm like, oh, that looks like a healthy alternative. Well, this is literally just you take a head of cauliflower and you cut it about an inch thick, put some barbecue sauce on it, and grill it. And, you know, maybe some salt and olive oil and that kind of stuff. So it's really just barbecue-flavored cauliflower, you know.
And that one there, you know, you eat with your eyes.
Right. I'm sitting there. Well, because this picture, it's kind of deceptive. I thought they had, like, kind of shaped it like a steak, but upon closer inspection, I can tell, yeah, it's a head of cauliflower. So I guess if you like cauliflower, then, yeah, try something new.
Yeah, I can do some, like you said. They did that. A buddy of mine did those cauliflower and mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay.
Yeah.
But I still thought in my mind it was mashed potatoes, so I think that helped a lot.
See, I think this would be appropriate to throw in if you're on a diet. And because this, you can kind of trick yourself into thinking like, oh, yeah, I'm having steak.
Yeah.
It's only like 200 calories. So
there you go.
Maybe a nice alternative if you can just sort of fool yourself mind over matter into thinking that you're eating meat.
And there's not going to be a whole lot of chew factor there either.
Right. And so then barbecue tofu is interesting. And the funny thing about this is, the prep time is an hour and 30 minutes, and the cook time is 40.
That was barbecue tofu?
Yeah, so it's a really long page. Like, first he goes on this diatribe about its recipe, baked barbecue tofu, in parentheses, tofu for tofu haters, which, you know, I guess maybe this is the way you dip your toe in the pool, but
I guess so.
And so it's one of those that he goes on to just talk about the common perceptions of tofu and try to dispel them. So I think this dude's got a bit more of an agenda than just a recipe. But, you know, you preheat your oven. I don't know if I think he calls this barbecue because there's barbecue sauce on it. I think it's actually just baked. I'd be interested to see if someone, you know, give him just a Traeger or something. See, you know, they prepare tofu. Well, I suppose you could bake it in the Traeger, see if the smoke makes it taste any better.
Well, I know somebody who's got an ugly drum, you know, in case you're going to mess up your smoker, that, you know, you may want to volunteer.
Yeah. So, and then this is kind of a side topic, but I was just looking for some more stuff to talk about, and I think I had remembered this, but this was some news back in August of 2016, so a few years ago, but vegan pulled pork honored in major food competition. So there's I think it's a team called No Evil Foods, beat hundreds of meat-based contenders for honorable mention in annual North Carolina competition. It's Made in North Carolina Award, looks like it. And so basically, it was kind of an honorable mention just because you know, obviously it didn't beat the other pulled pork, but I think the judges kind of just saw, they're like, okay, this is plant-based. All right, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and to be in North Carolina and that to win,
yeah,
where they are all about mm-hmm. the pork.
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting. Let's see if we can find out a little bit more about No Evil Foods. They've got noevilfoods.com. That's their small batch, sustainable, simple. So let's see. They've got some. Looks like they've got some stuff for sale, maybe. Products. Here we go. So, Comrade Cluck, no chicken, the Stallion Italian sausage, El Zapatista chorizo, Pit Boss pulled pork barbecue. See, that's the one I'm interested in, because this is apparently, you know, the pulled pork that was real, was kind of a head turner. So it's called Pit Boss. This slow smoked barbecue is done right, tender, juicy, and delicious. Pit Boss is in the house, smoked over real hickory wood and slathered in a sorghum molasses sauce. We're redefining southern tradition with every bite. So, I don't know if you can buy this stuff or that's just kind of, is this a restaurant or, so there's a shop. I don't know. If you'd like to check out No Evil Foods in your own time, like I said, noevilfoods.com, it looks like you can buy some of this food, and that'd be kind of interesting because, you know, once again,
oh, yeah,
if you got, you know, high cholesterol or something like this, you're on a diet or something, if you can, you know, get some tasty alternatives to the food you love, it's a good thing.
Well, you know, I'm willing to, like I said, try anything once, but, you know, I'm not real worried about my cholesterol so much as I am a lot the taste.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's... Like I said, I'll try it, and I'm you know excited to see if somebody actually wants to try this challenge that I got going.
Yeah,
and so
let's call it food for thought.
There you go. Well, it's about time to wrap things up here today. Colin, thank you for helping. The Mid-Mo Smoke Show is heard live every Saturday morning at from 9 to 10. This show is produced in the Mid-Missouri Media Studios in beautiful Rolla, Missouri, and engineered by Colin Fisher. We'd like to thank Colin for helping with the show today and talk about veganism. Don't forget, you can always listen to the podcast of this show. You go to our website at ESPN1073.com, click programming, and the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and thanks for joining us. Until next week, we'll smoke you later.
You've been listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 with expert advice from the Pitmaster, Lyle Quast. Saturdays from 9 till 10 a.m. on ESPN 107.3.